On this glorious gift of a morning in which we give thanks, we continue the second message in our current sermon series, Why Pray? And during the series, we're not only considering why it's important to pray, but also how it is we are to pray. And throughout those shared messages, we're incorporating the Lord's Prayer. If you missed last Sunday's message, which focused on Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, I encourage you to view it on one of the social media accounts that Harmony has or listen to it via Harmony's podcast. It set the tone for our understanding of prayer and especially the way that Jesus has taught us to pray and how we're moving forward. With this, let us receive the blessing of a reading that is today's centering scripture passage from Luke 22:39-46. And it is a blessing to hear the word that is read by someone who is near and dear to Harmony, Anna Kelly, who is currently residing in Florida while still staying connected to Harmony, this affirming faith community. So, and she's from one coast to the other. So let us receive the word.
Translation is from the Common English Bible. Jesus left and made his way to the Mount of Olives, as was his custom, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived, he said to them, "Pray that you won't give in to temptation." He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed. He said, "Father, if it's your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done." Then a heavenly angel appeared to him and strengthened him. He was in anguish and prayed even more earnestly. His sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. When he got up from praying, he went to the disciples. He found them asleep, overcome by grief. He said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you won't give in to temptation." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And thanks be to God. I want to roll us back to last week, just for a moment. And you may remember this, that we had talked about, and I stated there are six petitions within the Lord's Prayer. And five of those were given to us by Jesus, and the other one by the early church. And so these are reflecting the major themes of Jesus' life, Jesus' ministry. And these petitions are meant to open our hearts as well as train our hearts so that God can use us to be a part of the answer to our prayer. So this morning we're going to focus on petition number 2 in the Lord's Prayer, which is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come. Not mine, not yours, right? Thy will be done. Not mine, not yours. But whose? God's, right? Now, but what kind of kingdom is Jesus talking about here? Well, there's God's kingdom, in which the divine creator is the rightful ruler of the entire cosmos. And we are told this from the very outset. You crack open the Bible, you look at that first chapter, first verse, Genesis 1:1, and what does it say? In the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, right? The whole of the universe is God's realm. The whole of the universe is God's kingdom. And this reminds me of several common Jewish blessings, which begin with Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, which means, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe." Yet, there's another layer to what this king of the universe does here in this creation business. And so we're told in Genesis, the Holy One gives humans the authority. So humans are given the authority to rule over this planet on God's behalf. And here's where we learn much of the rest of the Bible, as well as history for that matter, human history, is the story of many, many messes that humans make of things. And oh, how we do We made plenty of messes. And I'm just going to give us a couple examples. Here we go. Messes on earth. War. We've got that big old mess going on right now overseas, right? With Russia's hurtful and harmful, uncalled for invasion of Ukraine. Thus far, I was looking at this statistic, reported deaths just in this war, thus far, are just over 14,000 lives have been lost. And then I was curious. I was like, well, let me go back. Let's go back 122 years. So we're talking 20th and 21st centuries, right? 122 years. How many people have died due to war? 160 million. 160 million lives. All right, another mess that I was thinking about is famine and food insecurity. This one should shake you up as well, because over 9 million people die every year because of hunger and hunger-related diseases. You got that? 9 million every year. And this one will frighten you, because 1 out of every 9 people go to bed hungry every night. 1 out of 9 every night. And then also I was thinking about racism and racial injustice, because it's not that long. I mean, really, if we take this, it is not that long that the Civil Rights Acts of 1964 and 1968 happened. It really isn't that long. However, that has not corrected racism. Racism still exists and continues to harmfully impact not only us, but this entire world. And then there's too many. There are just way, way too many societal and personal messes sitting on the thrones of our hearts and lives, in which we are praying to be our God and King. And that's a good and solid reason is why Jesus came in and he told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." With thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and I'm going to give us this holistic overview. God's kingdom isn't about a place. God's kingdom is rather about relationship. Relationship. It has something to do with us, right? God's kingdom came to earth with Jesus. And what a blessing that is, right? Jesus embodied the kingdom, healing and forgiveness and feeding and so much more. He gave us a glimpse of heaven on earth, in which we should be crying out. We should be shouting it out. We should be just crying it out with Gaddison and the worship band when they're up there singing, because we want to say there should need to be more heaven on earth, right? More heaven on earth, where sickness and evils, they just seem to have the upper hand. Friends, this is what we know what's to be true. Right here, I'm going to tell you, and this is a beautiful thing. Wherever Christ's rule or reigning activity is experienced, I'm talking about peace, human justice, shared love, reconciliation, it is there. It is there that we are experiencing the kingdom of God. Amen? Yes. And the kingdom of God is within your human heart as well as in society today. Yet we're also aware of experiencing God's kingdom in that it is not easy. This doesn't come easy. And with all of this, all we got to do is look at Jesus. Jesus, our Savior. To understand how important prayer is. One of my favorite authors is Philip Yancey, and he wrote this, and he pointed this out in his book, Prayer. Does it make any difference? And this is what he wrote. He said, Jesus clung to prayer like a lifeline. I love that. Jesus clung to prayer like a lifeline, for it gave him both the guidance and the energy to know and do the Father's will, to maintain belief in the real world from which he came, to nourish memory of eternal light. He had to work at it. He had to work at it. At night, on occasion, or he'd rise up at daybreak. Even though he sometimes grew exasperated with his earthly surroundings, sometimes fought temptation, and sometimes doubted. To which leads us to the midsection of this petition. Thy will be done. Yeah, there's that thy again. Thy will be done. God's will. For us to pray, thy will be done, we need to be ready to add this. You ready? And start with me. And start with me. Making me, you, fully obedient subjects. Furthermore, this kingdom of God, your will be done, petition, I want you to understand that we are co-workers. You may not have ever thought about this, but we're co-workers in this kingdom of God. And as we heard earlier in the scripture reading, Jesus prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup of suffering away from me. However, not my will, but your will must be done. Here he is, and you just imagine this. He's agonizing over this. He is agonizing and struggling with God in Gethsemane. And he's seeking another way out. He's saying, please, take us away from me. Nevertheless, let's also grasp the aspect that Jesus was willing to submit to the love that would never end, that would never let him go. And we know, though, that the way that the Holy One's will comes in that very hour is Jesus isn't rescued from his fate. I was reading something recently that Episcopal priest and author Wesley Hill wrote, and so I want to share this, and this is what he said. What should we make of that? More importantly, how ought Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane shape our understanding of God's will coming to be done on earth? Just so. In a world that is marked by sin and death, for the will of God, the wholeness, life, and love of God to take root on earth requires the vanquishing of that sin and death. It won't do to say that God is only found in moments of joy, health, and beauty. God must also be at work and suffering, in darkness, in torment, because the triumph of God's love can be assured only if God confronts the horror we've made of this world, bears it, and removes it. And then Wesley Hill further goes to say, if the heavenly will of God is to be enacted on sin-scorched earth, then it must also be the will of God for Jesus to enter fully into the pain of that earth. That just wrecks me, man. The way to God's will being done lies through Jesus' suffering, not through his avoidance. Only by entering into and overcoming the world's evil can Jesus usher in the healing we pray for. This week, as I was reflecting on this petition, number 2 in the Lord's Prayer, and specifically on the Thy will be done part, I thought about how I have prayed over the years, how my prayers have been shaped and how they have shaped me. I was reminded of this quote by C.S. Lewis. It goes along something along these lines of, all prayers are heard, but not all prayers are granted. Right? All prayers are heard, but not all prayers are granted. Sort of like when I was 16 years old and I just got my driver's license, and my dad had promised to buy me a car, and boy, woo! I mightily prayed for a car. What kind of car do you think I was praying for? Anybody? Come on now. Give me a shout out. What kind of car? Oh, yeah. Oh, a big truck, a Ford. What else? Anything? It's funny because you say Ford. All right. I was mightily praying for a slick and shiny Corvette. Oh, there we go. Yeah, right? So there we go, and I'm seeing kids my other age, and they've got all nice vehicles, and you know what? I wanted one too, and I'm sitting there going, come on, God, Jesus, I'm your boy. Come on, right? Right? So what did I end up with? A vehicle, a Ford, yeah, Ford Galaxy. It was a vehicle that I nicknamed the bomb because it had the tendency to backfire. And I'm not just talking a little backfire, I'm talking about loud backfire, as though I would be driving down the street and people would be ducking down for cover. I'm not joking. I am not joking. It was comical, right? Now, was that God's will? Was that God's will? Because if it was, I got to tell you, I'm low man on the totem pole. Jesus must not be loving me very much, right? But then I learned in time how to appreciate having that vehicle. Because you know what? The responsibility for caring for that might not be worthy in the eyes of people or my peers. Yet it did what it was supposed to do, right? Even though it was backfiring, it got me from one location to the other safely. It did what it was supposed to do. And what my dad wanted me to do was give up my control of what I wanted. And he wanted me to trust him, to trust that he had my best interests at heart. You see, he had a bigger plan for me. And this experience then in turn gave me the opportunity for me to see how my prayers were being offered, to see my prayers in a different light, to begin adjusting my immature prayers from the I want, I need, I gotta have, in light of what I was learning. And I was also learning in how to know more about God and what God wants from me in this life and how I am to live more fully into that life. I do want to say, though, and I really do want to say this because I mentioned this last week, that God doesn't want us to suppress ourselves when praying. Do you have that? Do you understand that? Don't suppress yourselves when you're praying. I stated it last week. God wants you to be real. Be real. Lay it out all on the line. Just go ahead and just chunk it out there. God, here it is. Right? You need to make known your requests. Because when you do that, I'm telling you straight up, this is when you learn a whole lot more about yourself. Just go ahead and put it out there. Because if we're putting, I want you to understand that, if we're putting thy will be done before you are praying, then it's going to be a problem for you. Because what you're doing is suppressing yourself. You are suppressing everything that you're feeling. You are not making known what it is that God needs to know. God already knows it, but you need to go ahead and say it. You need to go ahead and feel that. Because if you say, your will be done before you even start your prayer, I'm telling you straight up what's going to happen. You're going to not only be resigned about whatever is going to happen, but you know what? You're going to experience defeatism. You're going to experience bitterness and resentment, and you're going to be angry. There's going to be a whole bunch of angry going on. So do not hold back. Now, how in the world do we know what God wants for us in the thy will be done? There's a whole lot of conversation going on that one, but I'm going to just narrow it down, all right? By paying attention to God's word and to our own consciences, by noting what circumstances allow, and by taking advice in order to check our own sense of the situation and the adequacy of our insight into what is right. Taking advice from those in whom you can wholly trust, who have your best interest at heart. And I'm going to add to this. If you're unclear to God's will in your life, then if you can, wait. But if you can't, and you have to make a decision, just do what you believe is best. However, I'm going to add to that, that when you're going down that path, always make yourself available to God's Spirit. Make yourself available that's going to come from any insight that you can receive along the way. Because I am a firm believer that God will let you know if you're on the right track or not. Broadening this perspective of thy will be done, it's important for us to see the world as God sees it. You get that? As God sees this. We need to be seeing it with the love of the Creator for this beautiful and magnificent world that has been created for us. But we also need to be seeing it with the deep grief of the Creator for the battered and battle-scarred state in which we and the world finds itself now. We are partners in God's work on earth. And with the Lord's Prayer, we are committing ourselves to do whatever is required of us, whatever may be required of us. And folks, this isn't a passive act. This is an imperative demand. I want you to understand that. Thy will be done. That is not an ask, it's a demand. And we are called to serve as heralds. We are called to serve as heralds in this world in which we are asking and pleading and demanding for healing and redemption. We are called to yield to God's will. Like it or not, yield to God's will and seek the Holy One's glory and honor before our own. And we are praying, Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am. Use me. Co-workers, we are called to love God and love our neighbor. Am I right? Because that's what Jesus told us. And in doing so, this is how God's will is done. Examining the world all around us, and we ask this: where does the world as it is not align with the world as it should be? Where does the world as it is not align with the world as it should be? I give thanks for harmony. I give thanks all the time for harmony, for this amazing faith community. A little faith community that could and does. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, such as providing a nurturing and safe place for our youngsters in Harmony Kids. That warms my heart. That we are preparing and handing out blessing bags for those in need. We are participating in food on foot or service projects like tree people and meeting people, bind white socks so that those who are living on the streets can actually have something on their feet and keep them warm, purchasing food for the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry, raising funds for AIDS Life Cycle, raising funds for the Tongan Relief, right, and through the United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR, providing food and water and medicine and shelter and transportation for those Ukrainians and others who are seeking safety within Ukraine and the neighboring countries. These are just a few examples. These are just a few examples in which we serve and glorify God here and in the now. And siblings, we must continue to ask, how else might we serve? How else might we serve? How else do we say, not my will, but God's be done? I'm going to conclude my message with this as Rev. Dave comes up. He's going to be coming up for the communion, right, to lead us in the receiving of the sacrament. In addition to this challenge that I've just given us before, and so last week, the challenge was, let's say the Lord's Prayer daily. I even said say it three times daily, but I'm going to give you even if you're saying it once daily, say it daily. But I want now you to add this for serious thought for this week. In addition to that, what's one specific way? I want you to think of one specific way in which you plan to do God's will on earth as it's done in heaven this week. And that's an excellent question of the day. I've been missing the question of the day, so I'm giving you a question of the day that you can talk with one another after worship service. Because each of us, friends, each of us has a part to play in the coming of God's kingdom and in the doing of the Eternal One's will here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen.